Yeah. Good morning, everyone.
Happy Father's Day.
You think I'm going to sweat a little bit today? There you go. Is it even? Close? All right, take your Bibles. John chapter 13. I love the kids singing. That was a blessing. Amen? John chapter 13. John 13 is very, very personal. This is nearing the end of Jesus' time. He's just a few hours in front of his betrayal and a few hours to the cross. As you get into these last chapters of the Gospel of John, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, you're looking at less than a day, 19, less than a day, less than 24 hours. All of these chapters are taking place, and it kind of begins here in chapter 13. And I want to bring you a message entitled today, To Be Like Jesus. So a Father's Day message, to be like Jesus, but I think we can apply that to all of us, amen? Jesus was a living example. And he was a leading example. Hopefully you found John chapter 13. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Children should want to be like their fathers, and fathers should be a living example. They should be a leading example. And we're going to get our example this morning from John chapter 13. We're looking at verse 5. The Bible says, after that he, Jesus, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 13, chapter 13, verse 13. Jesus said, you call me Master and Lord, for you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you a what? An example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he, that's Jesus' Son, that is sent greater than he, God the Father, that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. It's Father's Day. Thank you for those men here in this congregation, grandfathers, maybe even great-grandfathers. Many of us are thinking about our dads today. Some of our dads have passed on. Lord, I've had multiple dads, and both of them have passed on. One at a young age and one at an elderly age. And Lord, there are people who are like fathers to us that have fulfilled a father role in our life, and we're thankful for them. And Lord, I saw those children. What a blessing it is to see kids and young people, and there's a dad sitting somewhere, and I'm praying that they're sitting in church here today, not staying at home. And Lord, I would pray that our fathers here would be blessed today. They would enjoy this day. They would be encouraged this day. And I just would ask, Lord, that you would meet with us now as we open up the pages of Scripture to something that's very familiar, something that we have heard before or talked about before, or at least have some knowledge of, the washing of the disciples' feet. And God, I would pray that you would teach our hearts today, that you would put something in us, a desire to be like your Son. Lord, help me to preach and help us to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Be like Jesus. He was a living example to his followers. He was a leading example. Now notice in verse 2 that supper was over. You see that? Supper was over. The Bible says in John 13 and verse 4 that he riseth from supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel, and now you see why I have this towel here as a visual this morning,
and he girded himself. So I needed to bring a long towel because he took the towel and wrapped it around his waist. And so Jesus did something that needed to be done. And so being a servant, number one, starts with observation. If you're going to serve, it starts with observation. Being observant. You've heard the word observant, yes or no? If I take the O and the B off of observant, what do you have? You have servant. It means you have to be attentive. We have to see, what needs to be done. Washing the feet was something that was always done by the inferior to the superior, not vice versa. The wife did that for the husband. The son did that for the father. The servant did that for the master. That was usually how it was done. So Jesus and his disciples, they had come in that day from a town not too far away, but they had walked in from Bethany, and this basic service of washing the feet was not done. It was needed, but it was neglected. And none of his disciples performed this for Jesus or for the other disciples. And why had they not taken care of this? Well, maybe they were tired. How many of you get tired? Raise your hand. Some of you don't even have to move and you'll tell me you're tired. Some people are tired all the time. And most of us have adopted this excuse for ourselves at some point or at some time in our life as the reason for why we didn't do something. I'm tired. So somebody else can do it. Maybe they were thinking, well, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to take care of it. So nobody did anything. And now the greatest person at the table got up. Would you say he's the greatest person at the table? Yes or no? He got up. He laid aside his clothing in preparation to serve. He grabbed a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and in verse 5, he poured some water into a basin. Not a small basin, but a larger basin. And he did all of that in preparation to serve. Listen, many people see what needs to be done and do nothing. They see what needs to be done and they do nothing. Some people are just oblivious. They don't see anything. Being a servant, if you're going to be a servant, it starts with observation. Number two, being a servant requires initiative. Initiative. This is the ability to assess a situation and independently take action to address it. If someone has to prompt us, if someone has to tell us to do something, we are failing to see what needs to be done, or maybe we do see it and we're just lazy or selfish. Maybe what we are doing is we're failing to take the initiative. So if we're going to be a servant, if we're going to be a servant like Jesus, we have to be proactive. It must come from inside of us. It needs to be prompted by the Holy Spirit of God and the knowledge of what God would want us to do. Now, we can have all of that, but if we don't take the initiative, we just sit on it. So you got to observe and you got to take initiative. So we must get up. We must rise up. There are people who are rising, and there are people who are watching. Amen? There's some getting up and doing, and some are sitting and watching. There are people who are making things happen. Other people are watching what is happening. and still others who are asking, what has happened? Now, which one are you? You making things happen? Watching things happen? Or you don't know what's going on and what has happened? Which one am I? When are we going to get up, rise up, and serve? If we're going to be like Jesus in John chapter 13, we must take initiative. Now notice in verse 4 that he not only got up, but he laid aside some garments. And this brings us to point number 3. Being a servant means we have to lay aside some things. So if you and I are going to serve, it's going to require some sacrifice out of us. It's going to require sacrifice. Do you remember the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10? One guy passed by, the other guy passed by, and here comes the Good Samaritan, and he sees a need, and he takes care of the need, and it cost him something. What did it cost the Good Samaritan? Tell me what it cost him. Cost him money? Cost him time? Cost him energy? It cost him something. If you're going to be a servant of God, it's going to cost you something. And that's where the problem comes. When the cost gets calculated, you find a lot of people saying, well, that's too much for me. Everybody wants to go on a trip until they find out the cost. Huh? Everybody wants to go out to eat if somebody else is buying. But when the cost is calculated, many times the thoughts of serving often die on the vine. Number 4. Then there are the actual acts of service, the performance of a duty. So being a servant requires doing. If we're going to be like Jesus, notice now in verse 5 that he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, I'm sure some of you have washed your kids' feet. Yes or no? Now, I don't know how you were raised, but we didn't wear shoes in the summertime. Half the time in the wintertime, we didn't wear shoes. That's the way we like to roll. Now, yesterday, I worked out yesterday in the gardens and flower beds and different things. Now, I took a shower in the morning, but when I got in yesterday afternoon, guess what the dirtiest part of my body was? It wasn't my hands because I wore gloves. What was the dirtiest part of my body? My feet. It was a different color than my skin. I had dirt between my toes, up underneath my ankles, around the Achilles area. You know what I'm talking about? And so I could have just washed my feet, but I didn't do that. I just took another shower. I think I got 2 or 3 showers in yesterday. And Jesus washed the disciples' feet, one after another, after another, after another. He washed them, and then he wiped them with the towel. Jesus served. He washed the feet, and he wiped the feet to dry the feet. There's your act of service. Number 5, being a servant requires work. Serving is working. Let's say that together. Serving is working. Now, who wants to work? You live in 2024, right? And we have a generation of young people that think that work is a plague. They want a salary, but they don't want to work. They want benefits, but they don't want to work. It's hard to find a young person who knows how to work. Now, if you're going to serve for God, it's going to require work. Well, we got our own work to do. Yes, we do. We got our own work to do. And many people have a bad attitude toward work. And very few believers are serving in their local church. How many believers should be serving in their local church? How many? All of us should be. Very few children and very few young people are even serving in their homes. Now, they like to be served. They like to tell mama, you know, I'd like to have orange juice. I like to have milk. I like this. I like that. Can you buy this when you go to the store? They like to be served now. But many times they don't have a heart to serve. And I want to say to all of us that serving starts at home. It starts at home. If they don't serve there, they're probably not going to serve anywhere. Serving is not natural. Serving is supernatural. And this type of serving that we're talking about from John 13 is voluntary. This is something that comes from you as an individual. This is something that stirs up in you. You see something that needs to be done, and you do it. It wasn't asked of you. It wasn't assigned to you. It's not one of your chores or one of your duties. This is something we alone decided to do, and it is work. Number six, in John chapter 13, Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example of serving. See, our examples are for us to see. Examples are for us to learn. Examples are for us to emulate, for us to copy. This is the word that we have in this passage. He did this as an example. You look at him to see. You look at him to learn, to emulate. So examples demonstrate, examples illustrate. We know that there are good examples, and there are also what? Bad examples. Have you ever been shown a bad example before? I think sometimes bad examples can teach us too. This is not how to do it. But in this passage, who's the example? And when Jesus does something, it's perfect. And he's our example. So Jesus sets the pace for us. Jesus raises the bar for us. He defines the level for us. Jesus sets the tone for us. And guess who should be doing that in the local church? The pastor and the deacons. And guess who should be doing that in the home? Who's setting the bar and raising the tone? Guess who should be doing that? The fathers. We should be like Jesus. Real leaders demonstrate serving. They become living examples. They are living, leading examples. It's real to them. It's real in their life. They show us the way. Of course, they need to instruct us. Fathers need to instruct. Pastors need to instruct. Did Jesus do any teaching? Yes or no? But Jesus also demonstrated that which he taught. And our leaders, our fathers, our grandfathers, our pastors, our deacons, those who are leaders at the church, those who are leading our country, they should be by example. What they teach, they should be showing, demonstrating. So here is Jesus, the master teacher. He is a role model to us, and we should follow in his footsteps. In verse 15, it says, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Jesus riseth from the supper. Jesus riseth on the cross. He leads by example. Now, he did not say for us in John chapter 13 that we ought to go around washing people's feet. You're not going to see me at McDonald's washing somebody's feet. Now, if you want your feet washed today, I don't mind washing your feet today. We can do that right after church today. I'll get me a basin, I'll take this towel, and I'll wash your feet. But this is not what Jesus is talking about. You know what Jesus is talking about in this passage? He's talking about serving. He's talking about being a servant. He's talking about seeing things and doing things that need to be done. He wants us to serve. This is his example, and his example is the standard, and God is teaching us what he wants us to be. Give me a father who's a servant. Give me a pastor who's a servant. Give me a president who's a servant. Give me a boss who's a servant. I don't know what kind of bosses you've had. I've had some great bosses who've gotten right down with us and showed us how to do it, and I appreciate that. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a... Let's try that again. I know you know this verse. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And if we're going to be a servant like Jesus, it takes at least two ingredients. And one of those is being humble, and the other one is being obedient. If you want to be a servant, you got to humble yourself, and you got to obey the Master and the Word of God. So we have to have this mindset of Jesus. In that same passage, it said, let this mind be in you, be in me. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Got to have the same mindset. That's Philippians chapter 2. They used to have these little bracelets that came out. WWJD, you guys remember them? What would? I'll tell you what he would do. He'd serve. I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd serve. So Jesus demonstrated this, and John 13 is one of the greatest examples of it. He taught us and showed us that the greatest of all is the servant of all. Matthew says it this way, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Jesus asked this question in Luke 22. Maybe you haven't heard this question in a while. Jesus asked, whether is great? Which one is great? He that sitteth at the meat or he that serveth? And he says, is not he that sitteth at the meat? He's the one sitting and he's the one buying. He's the one eating. Isn't he the greatest one and the servant is not? And then he said these words. Listen, he said, I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. In Mark, it says this, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. So if we're going to be like Jesus, that means we will be a servant. Jesus taught these men for how long? 3 years. He taught them for 3 years. Supper is over, and not one disciple is moving. They didn't move before supper. They didn't move during supper. They didn't move after supper. Teaching is one thing. Learning is another thing. But doing, that's where it's at. We got a lot of people been taught a lot of things. They've learned a lot of things, but ain't doing nothing. Now, I want to say something. The more you know and the less you do, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble because you know to do things and don't do them. A woman stood at his feet behind Jesus weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And Jesus turned to the woman and he said something to Simon. He turned to the woman, but he's speaking to Simon Peter. And he said these words, seest thou this woman? I entered into your house, Peter, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. How do you think Simon Peter felt? How do you think Simon Peter felt? That's how we're going to feel when we get there one day and we ain't done nothing. We know, we've learned, we've been taught, we've seen, but now I want you to see the seventh thing. There's joy in serving Jesus. Look at verse 17. If you know these things, if you know these things, happy are ye if you what? Do them. True happiness is with the doer. Some, you know, there's some Christians, they're just not happy. Well, it is kind of sad. It's kind of miserable if you know a lot and don't do anything. That's a big weight in a person's life, to know something and not move. Bible says that true happiness comes with the doer. We must be doers and not just hearers of the word. Joy is not with the one that knows. Joy is with the one that does. Rise up, get up, do something for God by serving and serving others. True happiness consists in knowledge and obedience. Knowledge, I know, I see, and obedience to that knowledge. Knowing and doing are often divorced. It is seeing and doing. There's joy in serving Jesus. That's a song, isn't it? Yes or no? We ought to sing it. You know, I can train pastors. I can train pastors. I have trained pastors. Trained many pastors, different countries, different cultures. But what I cannot do is make them a servant. I can teach them how to preach. I can give them all the skills. I can walk through things with them. I can teach them. But I cannot make them a servant. I do not believe a pastor can be a great pastor unless he has learned to serve like Jesus. I do not believe a father can be a great father unless he has learned to serve like Jesus. So each summer at our church, we had summer interns. We would have these young men and these young ladies that would come and spend their summers with us. They wanted a hands-on ministry. They're in school learning theology and learn all the stuff in the head. Now we want to get them over and give them some practicality in their ministry training for 3 months. And one of the greatest interns I ever had was a fellow by the name of Dan Elts. How many of you guys remember Dan? What's the number one thing you remember about him? He's probably shorter than you. That's probably right. I figured you'd say that. Just a short guy. He came up and served at this church a little bit. My belief in him when he was just a young guy, 20 and 21, have been proven out over the years, and he has been pastoring for quite some time now. He's gone through the storms and the fires and the floods, and he's still serving and loving God. He's not a perfect man. But I noticed when he was a young man that he was a servant. I found out on the first day of his internship. First day. I do something with all the interns. I bring them into the office. I give them what they call orientation. You ever been in orientation before? Do you even pay attention in orientation? So we have orientation. After about 2 hours of them sitting there and I'm talking to them about what the summer's going to be like, what that's going to entail, where they're going to sleep, who they're going to stay with, all that kind of stuff. I say something to them. I say, like, stand up. Okay, they're standing up. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go outside this church. I want you to walk around this church 7 times, but don't walk in the same path, and then I want you to come back in when you're done. And usually they look at me and say, now, give me the instructions again. I want you to go outside the church. Got that? Yes or no? You guys are not playing along. I want you to go outside the church. I want you to walk around the church how many times? Sometimes. But don't walk in the same place you walked before. Okay. They go out there. And I got worried. 2 hours had gone by and Dan hadn't come back. I'm talking about 2 hours. I said, maybe he decided to go home. So I went out and looked for him. And when I found him, he was working. He said, "Pastor, I don't know. I can't believe you live in this little small town and people treat the things that..." He said, "Your parking lot was full of trash. Somebody done dumped out trash all over the parking lot. You had tree limbs and broken glass on your sidewalk, and you had Bibles out in the playground and a bunch of mess out there." And I said, "Well, I put all that stuff out there this morning." It was an exam, but he didn't know it was an exam. And he'd been out there picking up the trash and picking up the tree limbs and picking up the Sunday school materials and the Bibles and cleaning off the glass and everything else. He'd been out there all that time cleaning. And it taught me a lot about that young man. Now, I had some interns. They took 7 laps in 7 minutes. They were back in my office and sat down. And I asked them, "What did you see?" "Well, I saw the apple trees next door. There's no clouds in the sky. Saw a couple houses and highway running by. Did you see anything else?" "No." I said, "Well, did you see any glass on the sidewalk?" "Oh, yeah, I did. Somebody broke some glass on your sidewalk." Sure did. I said, "Did you see any trash in the parking lot?" "Yeah, looks like somebody dumped bags of trash over there in the parking lot." Yeah, you know, you ask them, they saw it. I had one kid, I tried to teach him to be a servant, and I put some, he wasn't learning too good, so I put some trash outside of his door on a Monday morning, and it was still sitting there on Wednesday night. And we're getting ready to have services. And I asked him, I said, "What's this trash here about?" He said, "Well, the janitor will clean it up." That's what he said to me. And I want to say to you, that young man is not in ministry today. He's not in ministry today. And he spent a summer. I can teach him all kinds of things, but I can't teach you to be a servant. This something's got to come out of you. This something you got to decide to do and be. The morning, I used to dump all that stuff out. I used to say to myself, "I wonder if I'm going to end up cleaning it up this afternoon." In verse 12, the Bible says this now. You're in John 13, verse 12. "So after he had washed their feet," 12 disciples, including Judas Iscariot. How many feet is that? Some of you guys are slow and sleeping. How many feet? 24. 12 guys, 24 feet. Says he'd taken his garments, the garments he'd laid aside, and now he's sat down again. He's gone back and taken his place at the table. He said unto them, look at verse 12. He said unto them, and this is where I'm with you this morning. He said unto them, "Know you not what I've done to you?" Jesus asked the disciples a question. What was the question about? Anybody know what the question's about? About what he did. About washing the feet. He asked them, "Do you know what I've done unto you? Do you understand what I'm trying to teach you? Do you know the meaning and intent of what I just did?" Now I want you to think about this. If the Lord of the universe and the God of all creation can take a towel, if he can take a towel and a bucket of water and stoop down and wash the dirty feet of men, then what should you and I do? Then what should you and I do? See, this is what he was trying to teach them. This is what he was trying to get through to him. Now look, they've been with him how long? 3 years. And what are they doing? Nothing. They're still at the table. He's saying to them, figure it out. He says in verse 13, "Now you call me Master and Lord." Now we call Jesus our Lord and Savior, yes or no? We call him that, yes he is. And Jesus confirmed that. He confirmed it. He said, "So I am." He says, "Is it right there?" See it in verse 13? He was their sovereign and he was their king. Jesus deserves our worship. He deserves our honor. He deserves our respect. He deserves our service in washing his feet. If anybody's feet need to be washed, it's his feet that need to be washed. So if I am your Lord and I am your master and I am your sovereign and I am your king and I am your savior and I have done this unto you, what should you do? We must exemplify Christ in our own personal living. Some of us are just living our own life. You're just living like you want to live. And many of us have been a Christian for a long time, but Christianity is from every now and then. But listen, we need to exemplify Christ in our life. When people look at us, what should they see? They should see Christ. And what kind of person was he? He was a servant. Now, we can talk all day long. I can teach all the day long. But a servant's heart comes from a changed life. A servant's heart comes from a changed life. Have you been saved? Have you been forgiven? Jesus served us, and in love, because of what he has done for us, in love, I'm going to serve him back. He demonstrated first. He loved us first. And now, because of what he's done for me, I'm glad to serve him back. A servant's heart comes from learning from Jesus. As you pick up the Bible and you begin to read and you walk through the scriptures and you see things and you get taught things and you go out and do those things, he is our example. So a true follower of Christ, a true follower of Christ is a servant like Jesus. We cannot be an obedient believer unless we are employed as a servant of God. That's why we must be like Jesus. Thinking like the master, not thinking like the world. We must look to serve, not to be served. And serving is a question of who is first, others or me? It's a question of who's first, others or me? What's the answer? It's others. It is a question of perspective on how we see. It is a question of who we are like. Are we like Jesus? Or are we like the devil? The devil's always selfish. He's always thinking about himself. And Jesus is always thinking about others. So a true servant is somebody willing to do what no one else wants to do. A true servant is willing to do what no one wants to do. Now, many people believe they are servants. If I ask people in church, yes, I'm a servant. They believe that they are a servant because they do something for God. Many people believe they are servants of God because they have some kind of ministry at the church. Now, I want to say to you, and this may rock your boat, no, just because you do something for God does not make you a servant. A true servant does what is in front of him and what needs to be done at the moment that he sees it. Many times it's what others are unwilling to do. A true servant is looking to serve. A true servant is found at work. He's found at home. He's found at school. He's found at church. And no matter where we're at, we are servants. Everywhere he goes, he's a servant. Because that person has patterned his life after Jesus, and he has within him a servant's heart. He has a heart like his master. It is who he has become. It is core to his being. It is Christ's character demonstrated in that man or woman's life. A true servant is not just someone who has a ministry or someone who does this or does that. A true servant is one that sees wherever he may be and does in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. This is closing invitation. There was this old man. He was a Bible college president. He would stand over on the side of the graduation platform. He wouldn't stand here where they're giving out all degrees. He didn't shake hands over there, but he was at the end, standing over there. And he would stand over there on the side at graduation, and he would give every student that graduated from his college, he'd give them a towel, not a piece of paper. He'd give them a towel, and on that towel there were three words, just three. And here were the words, be great, serve. And I met that man, I know that man, and it's true about his life. You would see him out with a broom sweeping the sidewalks at his own college. You'd see him with a vacuum cleaner vacuuming the floors. You'd see him when a tree needed to be cut down or a bush needed to be shaped. He would be out there doing, this is the college president. And he'd demonstrate for 4 years for most of those students, some of them five. But he demonstrated for those students a servant's heart. Now, he tried to educate their brains. Yes, he did. But what he tried to teach them was to have a heart like Jesus. And they would go over there and many times they would take that towel. The diploma, I don't know where it went. But that towel and many of their that college graduation graduates, that towel is hanging in their house behind glass, put up somewhere in their home. Because that towel means so much to them. Dr. Les Olala. Be great. What was the word?
Serve.
John 13 and Jesus washing the disciples' feet took place just a few hours before his betrayal and crucifixion. Learning from him and obeying him. And I want to say to you that God cannot work through a person who is unwilling, who is selfish, who is proud, who is lazy, but God will work through a servant. God will work in you and through you and for you if you are his servant. But if you're lazy, if you're selfish, if you're unwilling, then you're just going to be benched. You might make heaven, but that's just about it. We cannot be high-minded. We cannot think of ourselves too highly. And my dear friends, the inner results of being a servant of God is a three-letter word. What is it? It's joy. The inner results of being a servant of God is joy. You want some joy? Then serve. That's why they wrote the song. There's joy in serving Jesus. If you're here today, please, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here today and if you were to die today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, why don't you take care of your salvation today? It is free. Why would you not receive the free gift? Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. We are all sinners. We stand guilty before God. He was buried. He rose again. He wants to save you from your sins. Will you accept his substitutionary blood? Will you accept him as your substitute? He died in your place. Will you come to him and ask him to forgive you and to save you? If you'll do that right now, oh God, forgive me for my sins. I am a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died and paid the price for me on that cross. He was buried and he rose again. You can have salvation. You can have salvation. Why would you not receive the free gift? And if you know Christ as your Savior and you're born again, now I want to ask you another question. Are you a servant? Or does people have to prompt you or point out to you? And who do we think of most? Is it ourself? We living in our own little world? Are we a servant at home? Do we serve at home? Do we serve at the church? Do we serve at work? Do we serve in our community? Christian people are different than the world because Christian people are supposed to be like Jesus. And Jesus is a servant. And we need to be like him. I pray that God has spoken to hearts today. There was an old song we used to sing. I wish I could sing. I'd break out and sing it for you this morning. Make me a servant, dear Lord. Anybody know the song? Make me a servant like you, dear Lord. I pray that God crushes our hearts today. Once again, teaching us and helping us to learn. But Lord, please help us to do. Help us to be doers of these things. Help us to be servants. Help us to serve our spouse, serve our kids, and our kids serve mama and daddy and serve each other. Help us to serve at the church. Help us to serve. Help us to see and do. Lord, we want to be your hands. We want to be your feet in this world. Lord, I pray for each one. I'm going to be quiet for just a few moments. If you'd like to come forward and kneel here in the front and pray, if you just want to pray right where you're standing, or maybe you want to kneel right there at the pew, we're going to take just a few seconds for you to talk to God. You talk to Him personally. You come to God and you talk to Him, whatever it might be. And I'll close this in just a few seconds and turn it over to the pastor. Let us pray. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for His example, a perfect example. And Lord, oftentimes we're like the disciples. We're sitting around, tired, lazy, selfish, thinking somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. And we see and oftentimes don't do. Oh Lord, please help us to be like Jesus. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. You may be